Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of In the Crease with Danny and Kevin, a coast-to-coast discussion of D2 men's lacrosse. I'm your co-host, Kevin Stentrum, and with me, as always, is the player who has 4 years of eligibility left as a middy, Danny Moran. Hey, Danny.
Oh, God, I wish I could play, man. Kevin, I swear to God, I really wish I could, man.
You know, it's funny, Danny. I actually have dreams that I'm playing.
Really?
Yeah. And
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for that, because I do wish I could play. But let me ask you a question.
How's
it going tonight in Northern Virginia?
You know, it's going pretty well. Although I have to say, Danny, I have a little bit of a confession I've got to let out here.
Yeah, what's that?
I think I even told you this. I don't think I said it on the podcast, but I told a bunch of people, including you, that I was going to head down for the Crown Classic. And I can't make it.
Okay.
Because that weekend, our daughter turns 21. And she actually has invited us up to celebrate with her. And you know, Danny, when a child at any age wants you to celebrate with them, especially now in their 20s, you jump at that chance.
Oh, absolutely. Now I don't have to sneak her drinks anymore. She's legal.
There you go.
Well, congratulations, Avery, on your 21st birthday coming up. That's awesome. And that's awesome that she wants you to come up and spend it with her.
Yeah, our boys weren't that way.
Yeah. Well, that's
which
boys.
Is fine. I wasn't that way either. So it's all good. I got three boys. Yeah.
I got three boys. Weeks go by before I hear from them. You know what I'm saying? So that's really cool.
So how about you? What's going on with you?
Oh, as far as work,
life,
it's work. I'm getting ready to go a couple of trips down to North Carolina to see the kid play. Got my all set for the Crown. I'll be going down this week, during the week, see him play. So
love
I
it.
Haven't had a day off in months, man. So I'm due.
There you go. Gotta take that time.
You know how it is. You want to see your kid play as much as possible, because every game at the college level that they play is one less game that they have in their career.
It goes by so fast. I remember end of our son's freshman year when all the parents who were seniors like, it goes by so fast. And I was already thinking how fast that season went. And sure enough, it's so true.
Yeah, it goes by at warp speed. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I tell parents like, whose kids are getting into it, like freshman year, and that I'm like, take as many pictures and movies and try to get involved as much as you can, because it's going to be gone in the blink of an eye. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So I got a couple of flights set, and I'm excited to get in some warmer weather.
Excellent. You know? Excellent.
Even if it's for a day,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm ready.
I hate the winter, man. You know that.
Yeah. Okay. So before we move on to our segments, we have a few corrections from last week's podcast. We didn't bat 1,000 last week at all, Danny, which doesn't really surprise me. But
in the stat department or the name department?
Oh, everywhere, Danny. Everywhere.
Well, I figured the name department.
First one is the name department.
Okay. Here we go.
So we had a listener DM us that the William Jewell goalie's name is pronounced Finn Zeebarth, not Zeebarth.
Okay. Finn, we apologize.
We apologize to you, Finn. It's Zeebarth. Next one. I asked you on the podcast where the LMU St. Leo game was being played, and you said Harrogate, Tennessee. It actually was at a neutral site at Berry College in Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Harrogate. I thought it was Harrogate.
I didn't either, Danny. I didn't either.
Because maybe I saw LMU was the home team.
That could be. It could very
maybe
well
I
be.
Saw yeah. that. Maybe yeah, I saw
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
And
we screwed
finally,
up.
And finally, this isn't so much a correction, but an addendum. Coach Foote, the assistant coach at Flagler, he messaged us to say that he's actually used the old goalie at attack routine. It was a favorite of his.
Oh, the same move that Mercyhurst pulled last week when they pulled Olney out.
Yeah.
I had never heard that before.
He said he used to pull that when he was coaching at high school. He said one of the ideas behind it is if you can force a turnover because you've got the poles and you're doubling and you can force that turnover, the goalie sometimes has an advantage at a jump ball. If it's really late in the clock, right? And you're not like minutes, but you're talking seconds.
Right.
Flip the ball to the goalie because he's got that bigger stick to kind of pick it up.
That's interesting. That's a you know, a tactic I've never seen before and never heard. I guess it's been used. I don't know.
It has.
Because I found that bizarre, and you know, they almost put it in. It almost pulled it off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good tactic if you can use it. He said you want to use that when you know your job is secure, though.
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But you know what? It's a cool play. It's a cool tactic.
It is. And I can see how it would work. And look at, like you just said, it almost worked.
Yeah, you put two poles on the ball and you beat the snot out of that kid, hoping that he coughs the ball up. And there's your goalie to pick up a ground ball in that big net, or he could catch a pass in that big net. It was a cool play. I mean, like I said, it damn near worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Casey Carlson made that save. But thanks, Coach Foot. Appreciate the
always helping us out. Always
the
helping
insight,
us out.
The insight there, man. That's cool.
All right. Now, Danny, we're going to move on to a segment that we had last year. We're going to bring it back this year. And we are. This is the first week because now every team, I think almost every team has played, but at least the top 10 have played this past week. So we're bringing back the top 10 roundup.
So here we are.
Top 10 roundup.
All right. This week's top 10 roundup. I'm glad to bring it back. First one of the season, week 3. Number 1, Lenoir Rhyne beat number 5, Adelphi, 7-3 in a real defensive battle. It was really good. LR goes to 5-0, Kev. Number 2, Rollins beat Anderson rather handily, 16-7, and the Tars go to 3-0, Kev. Number 3, Limestone beat Coker, 20-6, and the Limestone Saints sit at 5-0 right now, Kev. Number 4, Tampa had 2 games this week. They lost to LR 12-9 and then turned around and beat Florida Tech 13-8. And the Spartans sit at 3-1, Kev. Number 5, Adelphi. They also had 2 games this past week. They beat Georgian Court, put a spanking on Georgian Court 19-8. And then they lost to LR just past Saturday 7-3. So the Panthers sit at 1-1 after 2 games, Kev. Number 6, St. A's had their first game of the season and beat a good Malloy team rather handily, 16-5. Their defense looked very good, St. A's. And St. A's sits at 1-0. Number 7, Wingate beat a stubborn number 18, Maryville, in a really good game. Wingate pulled it out 14-13, and the Bulldogs sit at 2-1, Kev. Number 8, Bentley lost to Mercy in a really kind of close game. It was a good game. They lost 13-11. New Indy, beat Lake Erie 13-3, and the Greyhounds sit at 5-1. And number 10, the Mercy Mavs beat Bentley, like I said, 13-11, and the Mavs sit at 3-0. And that's your
top 10 roundup.
All right, Danny, let's move on to the week in review. I think this week we had a little bit of everything, some really tight games, some dominant performances. You went over several of those in the top 10 roundup. And even a mini tournament. What did you think about this week?
A really good week in D2. Things are starting to shape up quickly, you know, and there's some teams out there that are playing pretty well. Like that Maryville team, that team they look very good, man. Offensively and defensively, their middies were good. So we got teams that are moving up the ladder. And, you know, Adelphi losing to LR was kind of a cool game to watch. Things happening early in the season.
Do you want to start with that game?
You want to start with the LR game?
Sure.
Okay, LR, man. that defense, they shut Adelphi down to just three goals, man. They had no goals in the first quarter. They had one, Adelphi I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They had one goal in the second, one goal in the third, and one goal in the fourth. It was all LR defense. Logan Tucker had one.
Yeah. Adelphi had no shots until 7.5 minutes into the first.
Yeah, I know, man. Kyle Lewis, the sophomore, had one. Ryan Balco had one. The freshman, Mike Zucchini, was 5 for 14 at the X. Dylan Renner was insane in goal.
He was.
It's crazy with the game. Now, LR, offensively, I'm used to seeing them score a little bit more. Let me tell you something. Adelphi's defense did a really good job, too.
It was... I had that as my last note. I never would have expected the final score the way it was, 7-3. I would have expected maybe something 12-10, something a little bit higher. I mean, first of all, we've talked about LR's defense. You talk about Victor Powell all the time and Colt McCracken, but guys like Nate Ashley and Joey Masson, they're studs too. They 6-on-6, Danny. They didn't need to slide.
No.
I mean, it's like you had to beat them in transition or in some sort of unsettled situation to score.
Even when Adelphi was able to get shots off, Pennsylvania, man, he's like Superman banging off like the bullets. He stands there, bang, 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 the bull.
Yeah.
It's really tough to get a ball past Pennsylvania.
But you're right. On Adelphi's defense, holding Lenore Ryan to just 7, it was a total defensive battle.
Yeah, Kyle Hatcher had 2. Evan Voss had 2 for Lenore Ryan. Will Cannata, Donnie Powell had 1. Kaysen Dillon had 1. It's a game of how good defense Lenore Ryan is. And their offense is stout as well. But their defense is really everything. Shots, Adelphi had 38. LR had 36. Turnovers, Adelphi had 14. LR had 11. Clears, Adelphi 19 out of 22. Both teams were 19 out of 22 for 22 in the clears. Ground balls, LR won the ground balls. War 29-21. Both teams were big goose eggs in the extra man. Neither team were able to score in the extra man.
But here's the other interesting thing, Danny, just to add one more stat, is once again, second game in a row, Lenore Ryan
keeps the team
zero goals, but scores. Yeah, again, they've done that in all the games, but keeps also does not score any goals in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But they do enough. Their offense, and certainly their defense. I mean, they didn't need to score any goals really the way they were playing against Adelphi once they were up 7-3 or 7-2.
Did you notice that Kyle Lewis doesn't come out of the game?
No.
He plays both ways all the time. The kid is like, I don't know, man. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. He plays both ways all the time. He's going to wear down. There's no way. He's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good shape kid. He's got good size to him, and he's a really good athlete. But if he keeps going both ways, I mean, teams are going to start to scout that. And they're just going to start beating him up.
Yeah.
You know, so... they didn't run as many middies as they usually do at Adelphi, too. You know how Adelphi is with the Chinese army. Yeah. They didn't run a bunch of middies in. They were running short stick D middies in and running a lot of defenders in. They got a couple of young defenders. Mike DeLisandro, the sophomore out of Massapequa High School. He's getting his first taste at NCAA ball this year, you know. And they got another sophomore, Stephen Bayer. You know, so they got some young players getting first time action now for the Panthers. So going to be a little interesting. But I mean, Adelphi's still very, very good. Yeah.
First game, second game, they played Georgian Court first, but
right.
This is a real test for them. And like we said with Luke last week, when Tampa lost Lenore Ryan, now Lenore Ryan has been unstoppable so far.
Yeah, they look good, man. They
but
look
the
good.
Season is still early.
Yes, it is.
And you just got a plan. So, okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the Friday game. Bentley against Mercy at Bentley. Was Jason Kuhner and Cameron Dorfman, their goalie now, the difference?
Yeah.
Or were there too many mistakes in Bentley's first game? And I think it was a little of both. I mean, Kuhner was unstoppable. Dorfman had unbelievable saves. But I remember there was a play in the fourth that kind of encapsulates some of their mistakes. I wouldn't say that Bentley played poorly at all. They played really well. It's a close game. They lost 11-13. But they had the chance to tie it in the fourth. They turn it over with an over and back.
Yep.
Then they cause a turnover against Mercy, and they get the ball back, but then they turn it over again in transition. And I wrote, they can't make these kind of mistakes against Mercy. Mercy capitalized it, and then it was 11-9 with 5:32 left.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good game. You know, Mercy, they're like the cardiac kids. They just like when teams hang around them, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, if you're a Mercy parent, your heart must be like, your blood pressure must be going crazy because they're in such close games. They always let teams in. Bentley's a great team, too. You know, they're really good.
Yes.
You know, but it was 4-2 after one, Mercy. It was 7-4 at halftime. And then in the fourth quarter, Bentley scored 5 goals and kind of made it a game.
Yeah.
You know, they came back again. And I'm like, it's same old Mercy, letting teams back in, but they find a way to win. They find a way to grind it out.
Yeah.
TJ Hyder, let me tell you something. Mercy stopped moving the ball in the third. They stopped. And it was like these other guys. I'm like, would somebody please pass the ball to Hyder? Hyder needs to touch the ball. You know why? Because he's a savvy, smart, high IQ veteran.
Yeah.
That's been to championship games. He's been to NCAA tournaments. He's been all conference. The kid's a player. Not only that, he's just a high IQ, smart player. And when he gets the ball, Kevin, he does really good things. And in the third quarter, they didn't pass him the ball hardly. And then I was like, God, you got to pass Hyder the ball. And then you know what? In the third quarter, he had a goal and assist. Like, here we go. He touches the ball and good things happen. Yeah. So,
and he ended up with 3 goals and 3 assists in his first game back. Welcome back, TJ Hyder.
Yeah, yeah. Calabria had 3-1. Dugnowski, Gibbons had a goal and 3 assists. Cascanetti. And Jason Kuhner, even Kuhner had a goal. He played really good, man. Kuhner's good.
Kuhner was 20 of 28 on faceoffs. Yeah.
And Dorfman had 15 saves.
Yeah. We talked about that. Him replacing Tommy Umano, and he has stepped up.
He's doing really well so far, man. He's doing really well. For Bentley, Nathan Alvidi had 3 goals and 2 assists. Connor Segardi, 2 goals. Dave Gagnon, 2. Jace Lambert had 2. They ran out. They were struggling at the X, man, the Bentley. I think that's where the game kind of changed, I think, a little bit.
Well,
I don't think
Jason Kuhner has been doing that all year so far in the first few games, the first 3 games. I think it is really tough. He has made it that difficult. You look at Jason. I mean, he is built like a brick house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. No doubt. He's good. And you know what? Cam Bartolomeo for Bentley's no slouch.
Really
either.
Good. No.
He went 4-16.
Yeah.
He went 4-16. Then they put Dalton McKinnon in. He went 2-8. They did like committee. I think they had 2 more guys play and get some shots at that faceoff. But shots, Mercy 36, Bentley 45. Turnovers, Mercy 28, Bentley 14. Clears, Mercy was 12-15. Bentley was 18-22. In the extra man, Mercy was 2-4. Bentley was 2-3. And they were even the ground balls. You know, I just, you know, Mercy again, and the cardiac kids, man.
Yeah.
They let teams in, but they find a way to win.
But
every
you
time.
Know what? I think we talked about this last week. I thought this was going to be, in fact, I thought Bentley could win this game. I thought it was going to be close, and you cannot, we talk about this all the time too. You cannot count out a team like Bentley. They are pretty evenly matched. You know, So it was just it was a great game to watch. And Mercy once again pulls it out like we talked about.
Yeah, man.
All right. So let's talk about you just talked about it a little bit ago when we started this talking about the week in review, and that's Maryville against Wingate at Wingate. Wingate pulls it out 14-13. This goes to your comment about how good they were. I don't know if this is an overreaction or not, Danny. And now they're ranked at 16 in the USILA poll.
Yep.
I'm surprised they're still that low. Is that an overreaction? I mean, the way they played, look how they beat Lewis. Look how they played Wingate.
Yeah, they're not getting any respect yet. They should be a little bit higher, if you ask me, the way they play. I think they're a good team, man. Their goalie is very good.
Yeah, they did their scouting. They played defense for most of it, like Florida Southern did. Their sticks were active. They were getting in lanes. They weren't backing down for Wingate's offensive power.
No, they played well. Wingate was down 2 in the fourth.
Danny, Wingate did not have the lead until the fourth quarter from the first. They had the lead in the first to begin with.
Right.
Then they didn't hold it again until the fourth quarter.
You know, Wingate's defense is very good, though, Kev, man. Their defense is really good. I mean, their defense is saving their offense. Their offense ain't clicking yet. You know what? And it kind of reminds me a little bit of what Limestone did last year. Remember Limestone in the beginning of the year was kind of not, you know, they weren't clicking all together. And what happened? They got hot at the end of the season, right? Everything started to click.
Well, that's a really good point, because you look at the stats, and I wrote this as a comment as I was watching the game before I saw the stats. And that is, Wingate is just missing their shots. They're just going wide. They're hitting pipe, but a lot of them were just not on. Danny, the shot total. Wingate had 52 shots to Maryville's 35. And yet, each of them, or both of them, had 28 shots on goal.
Yeah.
52 down to 28 on goal. That will tell you that, and that's not, I think that's unusual for Wingate.
Again, I just think they're not clicking just yet. I mean, I saw a couple of starters from last year came back in week 2. Jackson Grant was playing, Moran was playing, Payback. You know, that Fab Five, every week somebody else steps up out of that Fab Five class. And this week it was Kyle Spence.
Yeah, he had a good game. But the other one that I love watching is their man on the crease now, Sean Clark.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good. He gets in the right spot. I'll tell you, he had a pass. Well, one from Willie Greco, but another one, I may have been from Kyle Spence or it was from Danny Riley, that I was shocked that the ball got to him because it was such a tight window, and then he buried it.
Yeah, that was Riley. That was Riley that passed that. You know, Riley's not even going crazy yet. He's just kind of playing. He's playing like good lacrosse. You know, he's not trying to do too much. He's passing the ball. He's, you know what? I just think when this team, the defense is great. They're great. They're a top 10 defense already in the country. I think they're 8th total team defense. When that offense starts to click, and they will, I think that's going to be. Oof.
I agree. But I go back to giving also props to Maryville. Did you see
Maryville played great?
Zach Baker, number 77, and Clayton Surrett, they both had 3 goals. They were phenomenal. And then you look at Garrett Rivers with 3 ground balls, 2 caused turnovers. Dagan Carlson with 4 ground balls, 1 caused turnover. It was an evenly matched game. That's why you say it's number 7 against number 18 when they came in. I think it's a lot closer. I think Maryville is maybe not top 10, but they're, in my mind, they're right there around 12 or so. The way that I've seen him play against Lewis and against Wingate.
Yeah, but two totally different type teams. But You just gotta take your hats off to Maryville for the way they're playing, the type of lacrosse that they're playing. They're playing really tough physical defense. They're getting after ground balls. I like what they do on offense. They move the ball very well. Their middies are good. Their middies are dodging. They're dodging across the middle. They're dodging off the wing. They're resetting and dodging again. Like, the middies were working hard for Maryville, and they were playing well. I think Maryville's a really good team. I think they're better than 16.
I agree.
I agree. Think anybody who plays Maryville and going ahead.
And that's why I said, am I overreacting? Because I always trust in the USILA poll. You know, they do a good job through that. I must be seeing something different. I think they're higher than 16. And I think Wingate, that was a gritty win for them, the way they pulled it out, because they didn't do the same thing against Florida Southern.
No. You know what? Wingate needed a game like that.
Yeah.
I feel like the Dogs needed a game. They're so used to just beating the snot out of people, scoring 18, 19, 20 goals a game, you know? And they're not going to beat everybody like that every time, because teams are going to come with their A game. Hey, they're playing the Bulldogs. Bulldogs are a national powerhouse. So when you go to Wingate or you host Wingate, you're going to be in for a game. You're going to be in for a game. Wingate's extremely well coached. They're deep as hell. Midfielders for days. Great attackmen. And when that offense starts to click, because they're not clicking yet. They're not on all cylinders yet.
Not the last game. But you got to give some credit to the defense. Same thing with Florida Southern, but you're correct. I agree with you.
Dude, they had 58 shots. They were getting shots off. They just weren't going in towards the net. They were getting their shots off. At some point, those balls are going to start to zero in.
Yeah. I mean, some of the shots, and it's not just Wingate, right? It's every team, but some of the shots they probably shouldn't have taken, but that's maybe 8 out of the 58, right?
Yeah,
so you're right. But I did see that. I wrote that note that they just weren't on Cage, and it wasn't bad looks. They just weren't on Cage.
They're getting their looks. They're beating their man. The ball's just not falling. Hey, it's like a basketball shooter. Shoot or shoot. Sometimes they fall. Sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes you're going to score 35 points in a game and shoot the ball 40 times. And sometimes you're going to score 2 points a game. It's just, you know, but shooters need to shoot. So, again, Wingate's defense is badass. Sullivan in goal. They got Nick Farley, Carnes, that LSM. He's all over the place. Natoli, that short stick D middy, and Conley, the two short stick D middies for Wingate, are playing very well. But again, Maryville's a good team, man. Yeah. A lot very better team than number 16.
Watch out for them the rest of the season.
100%. I think any team that plays Maryville better watch out.
And I think their number one ranking, preseason ranking in the GLBC, was spot on.
Yeah. And that conference better watch out, because they look very good to me.
Yeah. Okay. How about we go to the overtime game, the other Flagler against Florida Southern. Florida Southern pulls it out 14-13 in overtime. This was just like the Wingate game. Wingate, Maryville, either team could have won. Who got that last goal?
Yep.
Punch, counterpunch, just like the Wingate Maryville game. There were 6 lead changes, Danny. And each team had at least a 2-goal lead at some time during the game. And the other team would tie it up.
Yeah, it was a good game, man. Went back and forth. It was exciting. It was an exciting game.
Yeah. And then, so just the way it ended, Florida Southern's up by 1, 13-12 late in the game. Luke Burton ties it with 40 seconds left.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get any better than that. Then in overtime, Flagler wins the faceoff. Tell me if I saw this right, because the angle was on the far side, where the ball was on the far side. It was at
night.
It looked to me like the Mox slid, and they had a triple team around the ball to cause a turnover. And they got the ball back. They bring it down, and Caden White scores from an Isaiah Thomas assist. And there it is. And you saw the Florida Southern bench went wild.
Yeah. They were lucky to get that win, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flagler
played great.
They're a very well coached team. You know, they're good. They do a lot of good things on that field. You can see they're still young. They make some raw mistakes, you know, but they gave Florida Southern, they should have won that game. Flagler actually should have won.
What's interesting, Danny, this is the thing I thought. Tell me if you agree with this. I talked about them last year about getting ahead of themselves, and
right.
I think they've grown in game IQ and how they play.
It certainly appears that way, doesn't it?
They were playing, to me, very smart this game against Florida Southern.
Yeah, and Florida Southern's a very good team.
Yeah.
They're a very good team.
Yeah. One of the differences, Flagler had 7 penalties to Florida Southern's 3. And Florida Southern scored on 3 of them. You look at the score, you know, and when you've got 7 penalties and you're playing defense, man down 7 times.
Yeah.
Could that have been the difference? I don't know. Jacob Chiz, though. Let's go that another. Jacob Chiz, face-off specialist for Florida Southern. He showed his value again.
It came on. He was like struggling a little bit, and then he would win a big one, and then he would lose two, and then he'd win a big one again.
But he scored twice.
Yeah.
Because he's an offensive threat. He reminds me of Cam Weeks a lot. Even different than Cam Weeks. Cam Weeks would usually run down. He'd either pass it or he'd have an open lane to shoot. Jacob Chiz stays on the field.
On.
Yeah, and he waits for the pass on. Again. He gets the goal.
Yeah. And it's he's not afraid to dodge. He's not afraid to dodge. No, he's a good player, man. That was a really, really good game. And hey, Flagler, hold your heads up high, man. You guys are a formidable squad. You came up one short. You came up one shy. Nothing to hang your head on.
Great game. Great game. Okay. What other games you got?
Oh, let's see. I did St. Leo LMU.
Okay.
I
watched a little bit of it. I watched part of it and saw that St. Leo really opened it up in the fourth.
Yeah, they're impressive, St. Leo. They're a good offensive team. They do some pretty good things. It was the final score was 12-7. I thought LMU was going to give them a little bit more of a game. Too much Greg Palmer, man. 7 goals and 1 assist.
Wow.
Kid was just amazing. John Rauch, he had 2. Wills, Cleary, and Slater each added 1. Michael Flores was great. 14 out of 20 at the X. And Chase Strait, the senior from Lake Mary High School, Apopka, Florida, in goal, had 14 saves for St. Leo. And they were just the better team. They were just the better team. You know, they were just a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And LMU is a good team, too. They're up and coming, still
have they're very
things
good.
To prove. Rhodes Conroy had 2. Reed O'Hara, Perigil, Lumbell, and Cole Morris each added 1. Hayden Berry was 4 for 17 at the X. They had 3 guys at the X, Brickton McIntyre and Nick Spooner. So Berry was 4 for 17. McIntyre was 1 for 3, and Spooner was 1 for 1 at the X. And who's in goal? McRory. Cole McRory had 11 saves. So it was a tale of 2 halves, Kev. It really was. You know, LMU was, it was 6-5 at half. LMU.
Yeah. That's about when I started turning tuned in, was right about at halftime.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then St. Leo scored 7 in the second half, and LMU scored only 1. St. Leo had 38 shots to LMU's 30. Each team had 21 turnovers. St. Leo was 18 for 22 in the clears. LMU was 18 for 23. 33 ground balls for St. Leo, 24 for the rail splitters. Each team was big goose eggs in the extra man. So, again, tale of 2 halves. I think the difference was at the X and Greg Palmer on offense. I think, you know, St. Leo's a good team, man. I think they're a good squad. You know, they're not going to lay down. And then I was a little surprised that LMU didn't come out a little bit stronger in that second half.
I agree. I thought that was going to be a closer game. Here's another one that we talked about, or I talked about last week, because I thought it'd be a close game. It was a 3-goal difference. That's Lees McRae against Shorter. Shorter wins at 11-8. And now Shorter has started their season this year 5-1.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Shorter, it's 3-2 after one, with Shorter in the lead. And they slightly outscore Lees McRae in the second, 5-3, so to gain a 3-goal lead. So it was basically 8-5 at halftime.
Yeah.
And that's basically where it stayed. It basically was that 3-goal difference was it. I mean, they both battled back and forth. And actually, I think Lees McRae scored more goals in the fourth quarter, but they couldn't close that gap. And it came 11-8 Shorter. But talk about the weather in the north, Danny. It was snowing in Banner Elk, and the wind was howling. I mean, howling. At one point, I didn't have my earbuds in, and I didn't have it muted. And my wife is like, what the heck is that noise? It was the wind.
Oh, she could hear it. Wow.
It was bad. But so tough conditions. Pretty cool game. Shorter, some individual stats. Jaden Sealy with 5 goals, 1 assist. Luke Scherer, 3 goals. And Chase Finley, their goalkeeper, 21 saves, 8 goals against for 71% save percentage. And I think that was probably the difference, because the Bobcat goalie, Eddie Patterson, he was only at about 31% save percentage. And I think that was the real difference. On Lees McRae's side, Tyler Flannelly had a great game with 3 goals. Pretty good game. Tough. It was about as close, you know, the score's only 3 goals, but the difference, but it was still a pretty close game.
Yeah. Sounds like a great game, but who the hell wants to play in the snow and the wind, right?
Oh, it was. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Might be exciting.
There were
people watching for the first 3 minutes. And then after that, it's like, screw this, right?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'd rather be on the field playing than watching.
I bet. Yeah. I bet.
So hats off to all the fans that went to the game.
Hey, in honor of our guest analyst, Luke McEnany, last week, who did a great job, Luke.
Yeah.
If you're listening, you really did a great job. We got a lot of calls and a lot of DMs about how good he was. So we got to go over the Tampa game for Luke, because he said it was on his games to watch.
Yeah, you gotcha.
So Tampa played Florida Tech. Florida Tech was pretty, they were pretty formidable, even though they're 0-4.
They held their own.
They played pretty well. It was final was 13-8 Tampa. It was 4-3 at halftime Tampa.
And Luke said Florida Tech always plays them tough.
Exactly what he said. He said they always give him a hard time. And then Tampa blew it open in the third and scored 7 goals. But you know what? Florida Tech scored 4 goals of themselves in the fourth quarter and kind of came back a little bit, but too much Tampa, too much in quickness and depth and a little bit, you know, better in certain spots. Like Kenyon Burch, 5 goals, man. Kids playing real well. Andrew Milani with 3, Jackson Day with 2. Basho, Papa, Kemp each added 1. Alex Palma was 16 for 23 at the X. He had a really good game. Luca Mercado had 12 saves. Pretty good. For Florida Tech, Colin Stewart had 2. Jonah Borniak had 1. Vreeland had 1. Rozgagni had 1 goal and 2 assists. Jax Francisco had a goal and 9 saves. He had a goalie goal.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a goalie goal. Cam McKee had 1 and Kovaleski had 1. And Jack Maranto was 8 for 17 at the X. Good game first half, you know. Like I said, Tampa broke it open in third. A little bit too much, too strong. A little bit better of a team. But you know what? Florida Tech, they didn't play so bad. But Tampa, you know, 40 shots to Florida Tech's 29. Each team had 16 turnovers. 20 for 21 at the clears for the Spartans, 23 for 24 for the Panthers, 41 ground balls for Tampa, 31 ground balls for Florida Tech, and 2 for 3 at the extra man for Tampa, and 0 for 1 at the extra man. So Florida Tech is 0-4, and Tampa is 3-1, and here we go forward. But that was a pretty decent game to watch. Again, yeah, Florida Tech is... They're not a bad team. And like you said, Luke, Florida Tech always gives Tampa, you know, when it's 4-3 at halftime. That's, you don't expect that. So
yeah,
good call out, Luke.
Yeah, exactly. All right. One last one. And this is really the mini RMAC tournament that happened at Irvine. As you remember, Dominican, Colorado Mesa, Westminster were all there at Concordia's Field. And it's interesting how it played out. And the two club teams that are now in D2 learned how good Westminster and CMU are. So Dominican played Colorado Mesa, and Colorado Mesa, just like Concordia did with Dominican, kind of dominated. It was a 28-5 game, and really what that showed is Colorado Mesa is Colorado Mesa. They're that good. It was 11-2 after one, 22-3 after at half. J.J. Brummett had 8 goals and 1 assist in the game. Hunter Holcomb had 3 goals and 4 assists. I point them out just because we know those names. A lot of other right. players helped out, but those guys had stellar games. Then Colorado Mesa turns around Sunday and plays Concordia, and they win 19-9.
Yeah. Mesa's tough.
It shows you Mesa is the reason, you know, that's why they're on the top of the RMAC. But I'll tell you what was really interesting was Westminster. I watched both games they played against Concordia and then Dominican, but Concordia was a game they played on Friday. And Westminster looks really good. They won 20-15. They had the lead. They were up 2-0. Concordia ties it. Then Westminster goes up again by 2. Concordia closes the gap. But then Westminster rallies, and they start to pull away. And they rattle off 3 in a row, and that's basically all she wrote. And then they rattled another 4 off. And Concordia rattles off 4 in a row, but by that point it was too late because the Griffins had gotten up by 18-10 at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
So just here's some names we heard from Westminster last year. Now, remember, they were young last year. Joseph Celentano, 4 goals. Luke Silstrop, 4 goals, 1 assist. Skylar Weathers, 2 goals, 5 assists. And Sean Gragnola, 4 goals.
Wow.
Then they turn around on Saturday and they play Dominican. And Dominican held them. It was 4-4 after one. And it was 9-7 Westminster at half.
Wow.
Then they end up doing the same thing they did against Concordia, and they pull away with 5 consecutive goals, and they win 20-10. So, and they outscored the Pangs 11-3 in the second half.
Wow.
So it was a really, really great mini tournament. All four teams, you know, it makes it easier for them when they do things like that. It's a tough right. turnaround. And that's what right. I thought about Westminster at first. Like, wow, they had to turn around Saturday and they played Dominican. Well, Dominican had to do the same thing.
Right.
And they exactly. got beat up the day before by Colorado Mesa, and they were holding their own. So
welcome to D2, boys.
Yeah. But I think, you know, they were shown the RMAC, the top of the RMAC, and the top of the RMAC is the top of the RMAC for a reason. But I'll tell you, yeah. Dominican and Concordia, give them a couple of years. RMAC is going to be really interesting.
Yeah. They're already decent. You know, they're yeah. already two decent squads. They're, you know, formidable. You know, I'm going to keep my eye on those squads. You know, it's cool. We got, you know, lacrosse out west that we can talk about now.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. All right, Danny, let's turn to the games we are going to watch this next week. What's in your lineup there?
Oh, we got a couple of games that I think are going to be good this week, Kev. There's games kind of all week. There's games Tuesday. There's games Wednesday. There's games Thursday. One game that's sticking out right now I'd like to see is the St. Rose Chestnut Hill. St. Rose won last Saturday, and they look good doing it. And these two teams, they don't like each other very much. So I think it's going to be a good game.
And Chestnut Hill's just coming off a loss to Seton Hill.
That's right. So who knows? I think that should be a nice matchup. I think, you know, the two teams that could play a really good game. I like that. I like that game.
I agree. All right. Another one I've got is Saturday, 2 March. That's number 8 Uindy against number 11 Seton Hill. Uindy yeah. is 5-1 heading into this game. Seton Hill is probably a tougher matchup for them than they just had with the Lakers. And Seton Hill sitting at 3-0, but this is their toughest matchup. So I don't know, Danny. Seton Hill's offense with Peyton Gensler against Uindy's D with Casey Carlson in the net. What do you think? Yeah,
I like that matchup. I like that matchup. That should be a really good game to watch, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else do you have?
I have also Any 10 matchup with Bentley and St. Anselm.
Yeah, I've got that one circled.
That should be a good game, man. Yeah. St. Anselm's, their defense is very strong, Kevin. They have a very good defense. I didn't get to see the game the other day, but they got short stick deep middies that can play. Some All-Americans on that defensive side, and then they got the Larson boys on the offensive side.
Yeah, and they've got a transfer from UMass Lowell, who in his first game, Jake Davis, scored 4 goals and an assist against Malloy. Yeah. And then you counter that with Bentley's firepower with Alvedi and Segretti.
Yeah.
And Bentley just lost that close one to Mercy. It's going to be a good game.
That should be a good game to watch.
Yeah. I also have on Saturday, Frostburg State, number 18, against Mercyhurst, number 14.
Interesting game.
Yeah. Frostburg had a convincing win against Wheeling, who actually has been playing well until they met up with Frostburg. And Mercyhurst notched their first win against Wilmington. And like we talked about, though, Frostburg is loaded. I think they're ranked lower. The 18 is too low for them. Mercyhurst is starting to maybe gain their ground and their momentum. This could be a real close matchup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
What else are you looking at?
That's all the regular games, I think, that I like so far.
Okay, I've got a couple more. Davenport, Lake Erie on Saturday.
Yeah, my boy Gavin Conlon's in pipes for the Lake Erie Storm, man. Keep chipping, Gavin. Keep doing it, kid. You'll get there.
I think this is going to be interesting. Lake Erie, I think they're 1-2 right now heading into this game. They played DeUville this Wednesday. So, and Davenport's been playing really well. They could be 4-0 if they beat Malone on Wednesday. Could this really kind of be Davenport, who's in the GLVC, coming over to the GMAC, played against these teams before? Lake Erie's had the upper hand before. Can they threaten Lake Erie this time?
Yeah, well, that's, I don't know. Have to watch that game and just see how it plays out.
What about Pace Wilmington?
I like the Pace Wilmington game. Those two teams always play each other well. You know, and Wilmington's always been a good team, and Coach Mariano at Pace always puts a great, great squad together year after year. I'm excited to see Pace play, actually. I haven't seen them play yet. They haven't played yet.
I agree. And then they follow that up on Saturday. They go on Tuesday, the 5th of March, and play Georgian Court. Two very tough CACC teams.
Right.
But we'll really see, once again, we always talk about this, these NE10 teams ranked in the top 20. They're in the top 20 and they haven't played games for 3 or 4 weeks. Pace is one of those teams that always seems to show why, and they've got to show it again this year.
Yeah. A game I kind of like too, I think might be an interesting game, is the Catawba Barton game.
Yeah.
Catawba's been playing surprisingly well, man.
Right. And Barton is not the same Barton that they were last year.
No. So that might be a good matchup. That might be a good game to watch.
Yeah, the last one I would say is Roberts Wesleyan St. Rose on Tuesday the 5th, following their game against Chestnut Hill. The reason I say that is Roberts Wesleyan, I just love what Coach Delfino does with such a small roster. I love watching. That team never gives in. They're 3-2 and could be 4-2 going into that game if they beat Assumption this week. St. Rose is 2-1. They're playing Chestnut Hill like you talked about on Saturday. See how they do there. Then they got to turn around. They both have to turn around. And I think this will be a close, tough game.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that one. So there's kind of some interesting stuff kind of boiling a little bit. You know, some teams are vying for spots that we're not used to seeing.
Right. As we've said over the past few years, starting to get better and better. They're climbing up. And it'll be really interesting to watch. Now, one thing, Danny, is there's one game on this list we deliberately have not talked about because we're starting a quick little segment. New segment. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. It's our game of the week. It's our new segment. So we're going to point out the game that we think is the top game to watch this week, Kev.
And unlike other times, where, like we do when we do game week in review, when we did our conference previews, when we did our top 20, we usually don't talk about beforehand because we want to see what who the other person, what they watch, what games they're looking at. This one we agree on, and that's what we're going to do every week. We're going to pick a game together. The two knuckleheads have to put their heads together and pick one game.
Yeah.
Howdy, folks, and this is the Game of the Week brought to you by the two knuckleheads at In the Crease, bringing you the game that we believe is the best game in all of D2 lacrosse to watch this week. Barn burners, matchups, and implications. We bring it all here at the Game of the Week.
And hello, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends. Hello, friends.
All right, Danny, what's the matchup that we're looking at this week?
This week's Game of the Week, Kev, is Adelphi and Mercy.
100% agree with that. Adelphi just lost to LR, while Mercy is 3-0 and maybe 4-0 heading into this matchup. Cameron Dorfman, their goalie, has been an unbelievable surprise for them, taking over for Romano. He's at a 63% save percentage.
He's been very good. He's been very good.
Then you talk about, we said this, how many All-Americans they lost on offense, but there are guys that are stepping up. Greg Gibbons, Andrew Calabria, Brody Cascanet, Chris Bergeson. And then you've got Jason Kuhner at 70% faceoff.
Yeah, he's been a beast at the X, man. He's going to be a problem for Adelphi.
But Adelphi's coming with unbelievable defense that these guys have to go against.
Yeah, and a couple of young guys playing on the defense too on Adelphi. It's at Adelphi.
Yeah.
So I expect it to be a pretty crowded game because Mercy travels well. It's not a far game for them. It's a 45-minute. You're going to see a big Mercy contingent there and a big Adelphi contingent. One thing about Adelphi's games, man, people come to see them play. Like, they got a bunch of alumni that live close in the area. You know what I mean? So they come and their stands are packed and they're fun games to be at Adelphi. I went last year to the Mercy Adelphi game at Adelphi and it was a great game. It was cold as hell. Adelphi pulled it out, but this should be a barn burner, as they say.
Yeah. Ben. Yeah. Mike, I'm wondering if, like you talked about, I'm thinking whose defense, we talked about the offense, but whose defense and goalie wins out with Dylan Renner versus Cameron Dorfman?
You know, I have to give Adelphi the edge because they're home.
I agree with you.
And Dylan Renner's just been playing outrageous. So, again, they got a couple of young guys on defense now at Adelphi, you know, so they're still catching up, but they got a lot of good seniors and a lot of good coaching there telling them where to be and what to do. So
it's a great game for our first game of the week.
And keep your eye on this kid, Kyle Lewis, man, because he's a good player and he goes both ways and he doesn't come off the field. I was like, this kid's going to need a defibrillator and oxygen after this game. And it just amazes me how much he stays on. He doesn't come off. So that's keep an eye on that kid. He's a pretty special player.
The following segment of In the Crease is sponsored by LaxJobs.us. Find lacrosse jobs, find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us is the number one source to browse and post lacrosse job opportunities on the web. If you're looking to work in lacrosse, at laxjobs.us, you can browse lacrosse job opportunities, upload a resume, create a seeker profile, and be seen by hundreds of potential employers. You can sign up for email job alerts as well. Are you looking to hire lacrosse people? At laxjobs.us, you can post a job to be released to a network of qualified job seekers. And the best part is that laxjobs.us is completely free to use. Our goal is simple, fill lacrosse roles with lacrosse people. Visit us today at laxjobs.us and follow us at laxjobs_ and join our community of professionals. Laxjobs.us, Find lacrosse jobs. Find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us.
We have a player spotlight this week, Danny.
It's my favorite part, Kev. You know that, right?
It's been so long that you had a long pause. You're like, where's my line?
Well, I thought you were continuing still. So
I was going to. But I will not. We are staying in between the pipes.
Love them goalies. You know that.
I was just about to say that. But this goalie has an interesting story, not only because of starting since his freshman year last year, and he's one of my players to watch this year, but he hasn't had to endure something to stay at this level that I would like to get into with him. So why don't we just welcome him in, Vincent Burkhart, goalie for the Georgian Court Lions. Hey, Vincent.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, guys. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, man, Vincent, thanks so much for taking time out of study hall tonight and coach and coming on. You know, mom and dad know that you're in study hall, so they got to.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. How are you feeling tonight? How's it going?
Really good. We got Mercy tomorrow, so preparing for that.
Ooh, a big one. That's a big one. I was going to ask you about that. I'd like to start with this, though. Pete Nazario, who's the Bridgeport goalie, he shared with us one of your posts on Instagram, and to be honest, we were humbled by it. Can you tell us about your battle with ulcerative colitis and what that's been like?
Yeah, definitely. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis in sixth grade, and really, I never had no real effect of it, but my grandma has it. She has her colon removed, and then my mom got ulcerative colitis when she was pregnant with me, so it kind of runs in our family. And then my senior year, right before lacrosse started, I started facing some challenges, I'd say, with ulcerative colitis. Everything would run through me. I'd always be in the bathroom. I would be losing weight. It would be hard to like stay on my feet for too long, I'd say, because I was losing blood when I go to the bathroom. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I didn't really know what was wrong at the time, but I've come a long way from that. So
what do you have to, is there a daily regimen or a weekly regimen, or are you on some sort of medications? How is that working, and how is it trying? Now, I would assume, because I think I saw this in your post, one of the things that's difficult for you as an athlete is just trying to keep your weight up and your stamina up, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely. So I first started out on daily pill medication, but then that wasn't working. And now I'm on Entyvio. It's a 6-week infusion. So every 6 weeks I got to go to the hospital. They hook me up with an IV and then I get it infused into me. And I've gained almost 30 pounds since last year. So I'd say it's working. And yeah, but definitely keeping my weight up has been very challenging for me.
And how has that affected I assume it certainly affected your ability to play your senior year, but has that continued on, or how do you deal with that from an athlete perspective?
I just try to stay positive because sometimes stress can trigger like flare ups, and Coach Hover, he's very understanding of it. I know last year he thought I was just like, this dude's talking too much. Let me run to the bathroom during practice. But that was never the case. So he's been very understanding of it now that he knows the full story. And I just got to stay positive, and that usually does the job for me now that this medication's taken over.
Well, we wish you that. It's an amazing story that what you have to go through at such a young age. And I hope Entyvio continues to work for you and you don't have any setbacks and have to, you know, I know sometimes you know how this works, right? You've dealt with it with a daily one. Sometimes it works for a while, then all of a sudden you get a reaction or it doesn't stop working for some reason. I hope this really, really continues.
Let me ask a question. Danny. Diet, like, does it affect your diet? Are there certain foods
you
can't have?
Yeah, I try to stay away from all fast food.
Smart anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's crap anyway.
Yeah, my diet's terrible. Like, I love candy. I love soda. I love fast food. And I got to stay away from that stuff, or I know now that I'll face the consequences the following day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had a little bout with diverticulitis, which, you know, is in the colon, and it's kind of same thing, only I wasn't going to the bathroom. It was the opposite. And, I knew something was wrong. I just wasn't feeling right. I wasn't feeling good. I was, you know, losing weight. I felt like I was full. I would eat like a half a sandwich and feel full.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, and I was losing weight, and I came out of the shower one day and I looked in the mirror and I was like, man, you look like a crackhead. Something's wrong. Like something's wrong. And then I got an infection and I got a fever. And when that happened, I knew something was wrong. And here's a guy who never takes an aspirin, you know, I try to do healthy things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I remember getting up on the Saturday morning early, like 6 o'clock in the morning, going right in the shower. And I told my wife, take me to the hospital.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And then 5 days later, I came out. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, so there's certain foods now that I can't have.
Does it, you know, would it trigger it, Danny? Is that what you're saying? Something like that?
Yeah. Like, you know, stuff like acid type stuff, like sauces, like marinara sauce and stuff like that. Tomatoes, stuff with skins, like, you know, grapes and plums and apples.
Wow.
And, like, all the stuff with skins wouldn't digest, you know?
Gotcha.
And then gets caught in there and it causes a problem. So to be, you know, at such a young age and being in sixth grade, being, you know, that's kind of got to be shocking to you, right?
Yeah, it was very shocking, but luckily I had my grandma there and, she's been through it all. She had like the bulk of it, what could happen if it gets out of hand. So it was really nice to have her there. And my mom also has been through it. Luckily, she only had like a mild case, I'd say.
Right.
So having them in my corner really helped me.
That's awesome. Fantastic. That is awesome. Fantastic. You have family members who are also mentors as you go through this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. So let me switch topics here. You hail from Stillwater, Minnesota. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
So first question I have for you is, do you listen to the Down the Alley podcast?
Oh, I love the Down the Alley podcast.
I love it too. I listen to it all the time because I think the hosts of it are just so hilarious. And so I just had to ask, did you come from there? In fact, I think they just did your section preview.
Yeah, they did. Funny story, I actually played for both of them, PMAC and Ted, and now I coach their youth team, their U12 team over the summer. So I'm really.
Oh, that's awesome. For Team 36?
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. So then
the Vidovniks in 36?
Yeah, that's how. Yes.
Yep. They are.
The youngest one is really good. He's a really good goalie.
He's a goalie, right? I was going to say. 20, he's a goalie.
So, and Joe Vidovnik is the one that pointed me to Down the Alley when Coach Joe Turner was interviewed on that.
Yeah.
But this is like 2 years ago, Danny. And since then, I've been hooked on it. I have to listen to it and catch up on my Minnesota high school lacrosse. You know, I didn't live near there.
Minnesota high school lacrosse is really super growing. They're getting some great players coming out of Minnesota. I mean, just look at the kid from Wingate, Reese Orman, that went down to Wingate and was like an All-American and, you know, just LSM of the year and just played phenomenal in his 4 years there, you know, and then the Vidovniks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, but that's my question. So you see a lot of them go D1 through D3. A lot of them stay Midwest. You know, they go to Maryville, they go to Lewis, they go to Lindenwood, they go to Detroit Mercy as a D1. What brought you all the way from the lakes of Minnesota to the shores of New Jersey?
Yeah, that's what I want to know too. How did Mickey get his hands on you?
I emailed Mickey early on in the process, having COVID my my sophomore summer, going into junior year, knowing that's like your big recruiting.
Yeah.
No coaches could be there. I didn't know where I really stood. I knew I wasn't going to go play D1 lacrosse. But right. I could probably dabble in D2 somewhere. I just didn't know where. So I started reaching out. And I just loved Coach Hover right off the start.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And I don't think many kids from Minnesota have the opportunity to come out to New Jersey. So I was like, why not hop on this and see what happens? So yeah, that's what really happened with that.
That's cool.
That's awesome. And we agree. We've had Coach Hover on several times on the podcast, and he's been great to us. He's a true gentleman. We really, really enjoy having him. In fact, the last time he was on, he had his son on with him too for a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So now let's move on. You just talked about it, getting ready for Mercy. Your team is 2-1 right now, but you kind of head into a gauntlet with Mercy tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday. So you play Mercy on Tuesday, and then you have Pace. How much are you looking forward to these matchups?
I'm really looking forward to these matchups. As you guys know, Coach Hover, he does a great job scheduling us against the top talent, getting us ready for conference play. But these ones are definitely ones that are marked on the calendar, I'd say.
His out-of-conference schedules are just crazy sometimes. I'm just like, wow, he put some schedules together. Last year was a great schedule out of conference as well. So you're all excited for Mercy? I mean, they're a tough team. The Mavs, they come in, you know, they have a couple of NCAAs under their belt, you know, runners up 2 years ago.
Yeah, they got some really good players there, but we've been watching our film. We just got to execute. That's what it comes down to. We know what we have to do. We just got to execute it.
Well said, my That's friend. Right. Well said.
I like the confidence. I like the comments. So speaking of that, you talked about you didn't think you'd be able to play D1. I don't call D2 a lesser division. I call it a different division.
Yeah.
What do you think of playing in D2 and in the CACC?
I love it. Personally, I'm not the biggest fan of sitting on the bus. So the CACC, all the drives are relatively close.
Except right.
Bridgeport and Post, but I love playing in the CACC. Division II lacrosse is great because obviously I'm not the greatest athlete, but I was still able to get a scholarship to play lacrosse and play 4 more years.
I don't know. I remember watching your highlight film right now. Highlight films are highlight films. I watched that and I've watched you play. You're a damn good goalie. Don't sell yourself short there.
Thank you.
I think you're just trying to do that. See, Mercy won't hear this though before the game. I know what you're trying to do, get them in a lulled sense of confidence when you go out there as a goalie. But, what about teams in the conference? Any teams in the conference you're starting to circle now or thinking about this is only your second year, but, or just to enjoy playing all of them in the conference?
Definitely Chestnut Hill with how the season ended last year.
Oh, there we go. I love it.
Definitely that one. Wilmington, they always put together a good team. And they played us close. They got a really good team. So definitely those two.
Yeah, I love that. That makes total sense. And we talked about that with Coach about how that conference tournament final. I think Danny and I had Georgian Court. Said, oh, they're going to win it this year. And yep. almost came back and did
it. Yeah, I know.
Well, that's awesome, man. You're having a good time there. It seems like you're in a happy place. You're in a good fit there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like Coach Hover's great, man. We've had him on the show a couple of times. He's just a great guy. Like it just, I would, he's the kind of coach I'd like to play for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, he when he had his son on, it was just cool. Like you could just see the dad in him, you know, it's stuff that people don't get to see a lot. You know what I'm saying? And we got to see it. It was very cool.
So, I don't know, Danny, we kind of gone through the gun. I think he's ready. We've warmed him up. It's time for the firing round.
It's time. For the firing round. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight in the firing round, we got Vinny Burkhart all the way from Stillwater, Minnesota, sophomore goalie at Georgian Court. He's been a great guest tonight. Cool story. Good kid. I can tell he's a good kid. Kind of kid I'd let date my daughter. You know what I'm saying? So we got a couple of quick questions and we're going to shoot right through. Ready, Vin?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. Mom's best meal.
pizza.
Mom really? Makes her own pizza, huh?
Yeah. She used to make her own pizza. Not so much. They kind of changed their diet and they're trying out weight loss programs. So
darn it.
I know, exactly. She would make the best food and now she's kind of veered away from that.
Mom.
One more pizza for Vince. Come on.
The guys from In the Crease want a pizza. All right. Question number two. Here we go. Morning bird or night owl?
Night owl, definitely.
Yeah. Runs or lifts?
Runs. Not a big lift guy.
Okay, great. Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Yeah, because you give so much, right?
Yeah, you're exactly. Such a gift.
He's got a big smile on his face, Mom and Dad. Here we go. Netflix or ESPN?
ESPN. You can't beat ESPN Plus.
That's right.
Oh, that's too. True.
PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox.
All right. Something about yourself that not too many people know.
I played 13U AAA baseball.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You did that and lacrosse, or did you switch over after that?
I did both. I started playing lacrosse in second grade, and then I went back to baseball and lacrosse in fifth grade, and then sixth and seventh, and then I called it quits on baseball.
Yeah. I called it quits of baseball around seventh grade, too. I couldn't hit a curveball. Kids are starting to throw junk already, you know, 12, 13, they were throwing sliders and curves. I couldn't hit them, man. I'd be out there flailing away. Okay. Who's the funniest kid on the team?
Joe Zer, definitely.
Why? What's so funny about him?
He just doesn't have a lot going on upstairs. So some of the things he says and how he acts.
Well, he's at an institution of higher learning, so he must have a little bit up there, a little bit, huh?
Yeah, he's one of those Canadian guys.
Oh, that explains it all. All right, shout out to Jeff. Who's the one kid on the team you would never let date your sister?
My former roommate, Douglas McKenzie.
I'm sure there's a hidden meaning in there somewhere, you know? All right.
Notice the former roommate.
Yeah. Okay. What other sports did you play in high school?
I wouldn't say I played high school hockey. I was a member of the team.
Okay. I gotcha. What is your major?
I'm a marketing major.
Oh, very good. My middle son was a marketing major. You know what he's doing?
What is he doing?
Teaching high school and coaching high school lacrosse.
Really?
Yeah. He's teaching high school for now. Anyway, what's the best class that you took at Georgian Court so far?
Gen 101 with Dr. Chen.
Dr. Chen. All right. He's the man.
Yeah. He's kind of like the sports medicine. He's the head director of that department, but they made him teach like the gen ed class of the school. So he really understands like lacrosse players and stuff. And he's a really good guy to be around.
Oh, sounds great. Shout out to the professor. Give us one item on your bucket list.
Going to Italy.
There you go.
There you go.
I've been to Italy. It's actually beautiful there.
Yeah, I've been there a few different places too. I was stationed there for 6 months, deployed to Sigonella, really? Sicily. Yep. Tracking submarines and doing overland missions.
I was up in the north, up in the Italian Alps, up in Trento. Oh, wow.
That's Trentino. Beautiful. Yeah.
And the food was out of this world. So when you go to Italy, when, Vincent, you go, you're going to love it. Last but not least, here we go. Give us your best impression of Coach Over. He's got a big smile on his face, Coach.
I like the Burkhardt, stay in the cage.
There you go. Well, Vinny Burkhardt, thanks so much for coming on and playing with us tonight. You guys, you're just a great guest tonight. A lot of fun. I can see that you're a really good kid to hang out with, marketing major. You know, yep. we think we think you're part crazy because, you know, you're a goalie.
Yeah, definitely.
We like the goalies and we like the kids from Minnesota, man. You kids are good kids. You guys come from good families. You guys are well raised young men out there in Minnesota. You guys do a really good job. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
What a great kid Vincent Burkhardt is. You can just tell. People can't see us. We don't do, we don't yet do YouTube because I'm afraid to put my face.
You're a handsome guy. Don't sell yourself short.
But he, just the way he was so, genuine with us tonight.
Yeah. You can tell he was a genuinely sweet kid, Minnesota kid, Midwestern, just, you know, aw shucks kind of boy. You know what I mean? Aw shucks kind of kid. You know what? But you know he's part crazy because he's a goalie. So I know. He's part crazy. It's a marketing major. Just a well-raised young man.
And what he's doing, battling ulcerative colitis the way he is and the way he's handling it.
Like, yeah,
have to stay positive. And that's the way he seems.
It's a shame because that's not an easy thing to deal with. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like you said, he was running to the bathroom a lot. And, you know, that's just, it's, you know, when you're a kid, you don't want that, you know, you want to live your life a normal life. So it seems that everything's working and going his way. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that his grandma and his mom are doing good.
Yeah.
But mom, you got to make the guys from In the Crease a pizza. I'll give you my address. We'll give you Kevin's address.
<That's right. laughs>
No, thanks. Thanks so much for coming on, Ben. You're a great kid and good luck.
Yeah. Okay. So now you got any shout outs for this week?
Yeah, I got a couple of shout outs, Kev. My first shout out goes to Mike Rohn in the LSM from Tiffin. He had 10 ground balls, 5 caused turnovers to help lead Tiffin to their first win in program history. So how about for Mikey Ronan? And another shout out to somebody that we had on our program just recently, Kalani Lachlan, the attack from Virginia State. He had 4 goals and 1 assist versus St. Thomas and 6 goals in the win over UDC to help Virginia State to their first program win. So congratulations, Kalani. Now I'm going to throw a curveball at you. You ready?
Okay.
Ready for this one, Kev?
I'm ready.
I have to give a shout out to Coach Dan Sheehan and the Le Moyne Dolphins.
Oh, I like this one.
For winning their first D1 game ever. Not only did they win, they knocked the snot out of Wagner, 17-6. So congratulations, Le Moyne. But you lost to Sacred Heart. It's going to be a tough season, boys. You're gonna get some this year. And another kid that we had on our program who's really good, Kevin, and he was one of my favorites last year. I really liked the way this kid played. Anthony Caputo, the former Pace star, now in his graduate season at Jacksonville, the kid's balling out. He scored 2 goals against Duke the other night.
I love it.
Jacksonville got the snot ripped out of them.
They did.
But Anthony played well. And he can hang with those boys, man.
Yeah.
He can hang with those boys.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Anthony. Keep playing up there. So we got Division II doing good things.
Division One. I love it. Those are great shout outs. I got a couple career milestones. Baden Boyenko, 100 points. And we've had other people with 100 points career milestones. He has 68 goals and 34 assists in 26 games, Danny.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Merritt McMahon of Westminster, 100 career points. He had 12 total points in the mini RMAC tournament.
Yeah. Good friend. Good job.
And finally, and we had these guys on the show recently, both Camden Smith and Eddie Baker of St. Rose, both 100 career goals.
Congratulations, boys. Good shout outs, Kev. Good ones.
I've got one more. Do you got any others? I've got one more shout out. Okay, here we go. I want to shout out all of our scouts that are out there, our listeners who keep us updated with games during the weekend. People like Warren Saunders, Melody, Carl Brennan, Seth Brosman, Glenn Garvin, and there are many more I know I'm missing. But it's you folks that either keep us honest with corrections or shoot us a note like, hey, you need to watch this game. You need to watch this player. We use those tips. And it means a lot that we've got extra eyes out there helping us. We may sound smart sometimes. It's usually not us. It's them.
Well, thank you to all those people that listen to the show and shoot us the DMs and help us along. It's, you know what? I think we're two nice guys. They feel that they can talk to us. You know.
Oh, well, I think they also know we're actually knuckleheads and we need the help.
That too. That yeah, too. Yeah. That too. Oh, and laxjobs.us. Okay, we forgot to talk about laxjobs.us. Oh, yeah. So
thanks to our sponsor, LaxJobs.us, who, you know, it is something that is trying to grow the community for free.
Yeah.
By allowing you to post your resume or post your job and be able to connect and figure out, you know, where you want to go in a career or where to look for people for your jobs.
Yeah. Looking for a job in the lacrosse field? LaxJobs.us. Do it.
Do it. And finally, just to remind everyone, please, 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 I would love to see this podcast grow more this year. We almost doubled last year in number of downloads per week. I'd love to see it go from 1,000 per week to 1,500 or 2,000 by the end of the season. And it's happening because of our listeners. So make sure you like, subscribe, make comments, leave reviews, and please, please pass it along and share it to the lacrosse community.
Yeah, especially at the high school levels. If you can share it to the high school levels, you know, coaches or youth coaches, you know, you can learn a lot from this podcast just about how good Division II is and all the opportunities it can give a young man.
And I think that's the critical thing, Danny. I think that's what you said. We're doing this. We did this from the beginning to just shed the light on how good D2 lacrosse is. And it's important for those lacrosse players in high school that are thinking of wanting to move on to realize that it's not all D1. We mentioned D2. We love D2. There's also club and D3. There's NAIA. Whatever fits what you want to do, but we're gonna really push D2.
Absolutely.
And with that, Danny, for tonight, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, Kev.